The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com. There was a story I was reading in the UK Sun, and it had to do with a father and little baby toddler, well, toddler girl. They were walking along a seawall in North Australia, and the waves are churning. There have been some floods out there, which is pretty nuts. And then the unthinkable happened. I'll play a little bit of the audio from it.
The little girl washed into the water. Dad clambering over the rails after her.
Went right in after her.
They were tossed across rocks, but both are okay, thanks to these witnesses who were quick to pull them out.
But as we got him out of the water, he was gone. He was like, if it could have been, you know, like there's seconds in this. He was that exhausted, but he never let go of that kid, you know what I mean?
David Graham helped the man out of the water, Melinda consoling the mother, who was horrified.
Oh, Mum was hysterical. She was beside herself. She's like, how could he do it? We just came down here for a nice walk.
Mum telling a community group, I can't excuse my husband's actions. His naivety on the ocean put our daughter at risk. Also thanking the rescuers. You are absolute heroes. Thank you so much. I'm sorry my husband put you in that position.
Wow. Okay. Now, remember, got the dad and little girl walking out on the seawall, probably not the best thing to do. Stuff happens out there, though. She gets washed out into this cauldron of water, and he doesn't even think a microsecond. Boom! He dives in after her, into the cauldron, down below. And the mom sets him on fire? I mean, see, that's the part that just bugged me. It's kind of like, yeah, he probably shouldn't have been out there with a little much. Probably should have taken that a little more seriously. If he hadn't dived in, then he would have been chicken. But he did dive in, and so now we're going to set him on fire for being irresponsible. It was an incredibly brave thing he did. And the wife sets him on fire in public and says, I thank you for all the heroes that saved him. They didn't save him. They just pulled him out. The first responders were about 10 minutes away. You know, that sort of thing. They threw a line and then they brought him in. They're not the heroes. The hero to me, even though he was a dummy at first, was the fact that the dad did what a dad should do, what a man should do. He dove in right after the little girl and hung onto her for dear life. He wasn't going to let go of her for anything. If you watch the video, you just take a look at it. And I swear that in today's culture, a guy can't catch a break. If he's not willing to dive in, he's a chicken. If there's anything even the least bit risk-taking there, then he's irresponsible. Okay? Was it right? Was it right to set him on fire like that with him?
Well, my husband...
Excuse my husband's...
Oh, yeah, here we go. What did she say?
Came down here for a nice walk.
Yeah.
Mum telling a community group, I can't excuse my husband's actions. His naivety on the ocean put our daughter at risk. Also thanking the rescuers. You are absolute heroes.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. I'm sorry my husband put you in that position.
Boy. You know, and I'm thinking this guy did things that probably 90 out of 100 people wouldn't do. Maybe 99 out of 100 people wouldn't do. He dove right into the cauldron to save that little girl, and he did. And yeah, he probably should have been hanging on to her a little more tightly. But still, he took responsibility for it. I don't know. Maybe he should walk away. And I'm not advocating this because obviously his dad cares about his kids, but, you know, who's the jerk on something like this? Should the wife be setting him on fire like that? I don't think so. 770-563-3770-KMED. We talk about that. Anything else on your mind? That's a pebble in my shoe this morning. The way it's okay to set the guy on fire. I think if it was a woman, it would have been different. Jean, you're a woman. Go ahead. What's on your mind? Pebble in your shoe Tuesday.
Well, I agree with you. She was an idiot. If she had really thought about it, she would have told him, get the kid away from the seawall, but she was stupid.
Okay. Well, so and stuff happens. You know, sometimes you do things and you're just a little inattentive, and kids died. It's tragic. I'm not trying to say it's okay, but you know, it should be like, hey, thank you for everybody that helped and throw in there. But man, You know, boy, what a husband. He just dove right in there and saved her, you know, after that. Because she could have just been swept out for some other sort of situation. But boy, it's kind of like smacking him when he was down. I don't know. Maybe it's just me. What else did you call about, though, Gene? Go ahead.
Okay. As for the student debt, I wouldn't object if Biden took every penny he had personally to pay off student loans. Instead of going after the taxpayers like an idiot.
So all the Ukraine and Chinese money that that the Biden crime family took in should be gone. Okay, I'm all right with that. Is there anything else?
Yeah. That Christine Goodwin?
Goodwin.
Well, whatever. I heard her commercial four times in an hour. Why doesn't she have guts enough to actually prove where she lives if she was being honest?
I don't know. I can't answer that. Christine Goodwin is welcome on the program if she wants to come on. And I went through back channels to try to get a hold, and it, maybe we can talk. And I'm hoping we can talk. And I don't have an answer for that. All right. Thank you, Gene. Let me go to Tom. Tom's in Talent. Hello, Tom. Pebble in your shoe Tuesday. Fire away. And what's on your mind?
Well, the first thing on my mind is, if a man is alone in the forest, is he still wrong?
You know, sometimes I'm thinking, yeah. You know, I we laugh and we tee-hee about this. But, you know, they're starting to find out that young men are at the point where they're thinking, hey, heads I lose, tails they win, you know, when it comes to male-female interpersonal relationships. And there's been a real reduction in family formation that's been going on. And I think if it had been the mother that had been inattentive for that and had dove in, I don't think the husband would have been out there, you know, talking about, you know, how irresponsible you were that, you know, taking them out on that seawall, blah, 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 blah. Just would have said, thank God that she dove in and saved our child. And I'm just feeling so blessed that we're back together. I would have been focusing on the positive. I just couldn't believe she went on social media, like the Twitters and the X or something like that, and just set this guy on fire. And it's like, man, not much love in that relationship, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, well, it's only government is our savior for everything. So
yeah, we'll make heroes of the first responders, but the first responders, and nothing wrong with first responders, but they were there 10 minutes later, okay?
Exactly.
They would have been there anyway, to write the report and maybe do CPR. But anyway, they're okay now.
So I wanted to let people know there's a great movie coming up. I believe it's going to be coming out on Thursday. But it's a conversation between G. Edward Griffin, who wrote The Creature from Jekyll Island.
That was about the formation of the Federal Reserve banking system. Yeah.
And then David Webb, who wrote the book The Great Taking.
Oh!
I'm really looking forward to hearing not just what's wrong, because I know quite well what's wrong. It's, you know, endless money for a government means endless government. And so, but I'm curious about what their solution is to how we can end this, because I've been reading for the last 50 years. I mean, it came out in the Council on Foreign Relations magazine, Foreign Affairs, back back in the 70s, where a fellow by the name of Gardner wrote a piece, and he talked about the necessity of making an end run around the Constitution, all the limitations on the government by the Constitution.
Well, the Federal Reserve banking system really has been that, in a way, hasn't it?
Yeah. Oh yeah, that's the way. I mean, even recently they asked, you know, with all of everything going on, they asked Janet Yellen if the United States could afford another war, and oh, no problems. Yeah, well, that's because, you know, if we have unlimited money, you can always have money for another war. So that's where we're at.
And yeah, but what that money is worth is, but what that money is worth is then another thing, and that's where we little sheeple out there end up bearing the brunt of that, because the military-industrial complex would get the very first of that printed money or that borrowed into existence money coming into the system. They're fine. They're fat and happy about it. Of course, there's always money for them.
Exactly. And you know, we're all paying for the Ukraine war and so forth with at the grocery store.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it. I appreciate your call, Tom. Thanks for making it. And by the way, is this movie that you were talking about with David Webb and G. Edward Griffin, is that so it's coming out Thursday. Is it an online movie or in a theater? What do you think?
I'm not quite clear here. It was sent to me. I sent to you, this, so if people are curious about it, maybe you could post it somewhere.
All right. I'll check it out now. I'll see if I can put it on my Facebook page or something, okay, in my show blog. The other thing I was going to mention, there is another movie coming out this week. I believe is it this week. Isn't the Civil War movie coming out, the one about Civil War II, like here on the continental U.S.? The predictive programming isn't that coming out this week? I seem to recall that it was this week, going to be the 12th or something.
Cultivated like mushrooms.
Yeah. Part of that is, one of the big problems is that the conservatives have not gotten angry enough to actually take matters in their own hands. Right, they're concerned about this, and so the Barack Obama types, the ones that are pushing the strings behind in the Hollywood media, they've got to they have to poke the bear a little bit. So my prediction is that this is predictive programming. That's all.
We'll see. I have to agree with
you. But I'd still probably like to go watch it because it sounds like fun, like a fun ride. We'll see. We'll see what happens. Okay.
Okay. I'm glad you can keep entertained, Bill.
Yeah. Entertained by the absurdity of it all. Let me go to line two on Pebble in Your Shoe Tuesday. Hi, who's this? Good morning. Welcome. Hello.
Good morning. This is Ed, Bill.
Oh, hey, Ed. How you doing? Great to have you on, Mr. X. What are you thinking?
Well, I wanted to try to address your interview with yesterday with K.S. Wilde.
Yeah, with George Sexton, sure.
Some of the impacts and try to relate it to some things that are going on right now with related things to Josephine and Jackson County with these charter changes. And I sat back and listened to this interview several times, and I'm taken aback by some of the concepts that are put forward. And when I look
What was one, because time is limited, Ed, so we're going to have to hyper-focus here, all right? What is probably the main bone of contention that you have? Because I've had listeners write me a lot about that overnight, too, and I'll share some of that.
Right. And, well, the simplest thing is we had a terrible time economically back in 2018, 2017, early 2019, but that's when the things changed because of our county commission. And the reality, the concepts that they're putting forth are just wrong. You mentioned a couple things with him. He called it the sustainable part of the ONC Act. Well, the ONC Act wasn't, there was nothing about sustainable in it.
It was sustained yield.
Sustained yield at productive capacity. Okay, so if you have a problem with the productive capacity, well, let's alter the productive capacity. Let's do something that works. But the reality to this is that they attack it. I looked on their website as of today. There's three lawsuits they're putting forth against these, some forest projects that are meant to help, quell the fire problem, okay? And they always go to climate change. They go to, every aspect of the argument, but they never address it with any other solution, and we have to burn it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm going to remind
you have to understand, gangrene are the biggest professional arsonists around because that is their plan for everything in the forest.
But that's their way of taking money out of the woods, and then they spread it amongst all of the small nonprofits, non-governmental organizations, collaboratives, whatever you want to call them. And, you guys were joking about the term stakeholder. It involves stakeholders. Well, we only object to the use of stakeholder when it comes to a predetermined outcome.
Mm-hmm.
And the simple thing is that in the health, safety, and welfare consideration of which government is duty-bound to consider, that wildfire smoke is the equivalent of smoking 5 packs of cigarettes a day for everybody. If you're a non-smoker, you're a non-smoker, but you're still smoking 5 packs a day if they have their way.
Another thing that I would add, another aspect that I would advise or that that kind of irritated me, and you and I were talking about that yesterday, is the fact that George did kind of seem to look at regulatory impact on private forest land. He almost looked at private forest land as if it should be controlled the same way that public land is controlled.
Well, you're exactly right, Bill, and that's one of the other things. It truly just got my goat because their concept, the gangrene concept of this, is a landscape scale event. That's how they talk about it, landscape scale. Cross boundaries is another term they use. Cross boundaries, cross borders, cross whatever. Now, you look at the impact that they've had. I was reading an article this morning. Three counties have gone against the Bureau of Reclamation right now demanding their water rights be filled, but they just removed the dams. What about the other people's water rights that were there counting on that water? You look at this stupidity of the direction that they're going and the absolute destruction of our way of life. But that's the direction. They want to make it harder to survive in a rural area.
That is considered not a bug, but a feature. Ed, we know that's not. Yep. We know that's the plan. That's not a bug. That's a feature. Okay, that's a feature.
That's exactly right. Mm-hmm. But what we have to do is take apart some of these things, question them. But if they're going to be involved and claim that they're representing us as, you know, that they're a, you know, part of the stakeholder collaborative consensus-based process that came up with this solution as a dispute resolution thing out of a lawsuit that they put forward. Let's look at that. As of this morning, there's three lawsuits that they're going after. And he has the nerve to try to criticize Commissioner Roberts. And he criticized her in the wrong aspect. He didn't know her true feelings. Did he contact her? Did he talk to her?
Well, I forwarded that along on her behalf then. Okay.
Well, but what I'm saying is that they make blanket statements that basically are untrue without informing you of the other considerations. And then they bring in young people. They talk about tribal heritage, the culture, cultural burning. It's just common sense. If you were living off the land, why would you burn it? It would drive the animals further away. It would drive all these other things. I looked on the OregonConservationStrategy.org. 3-4 years ago, it used to tell you the natural fire regime in Oregon was between 100 and 400 years. Now they're telling you it needs to burn every 8 years.
That only, you know something, Ed, and this is why in some respects, one of the best things that could ever happen to Western Oregon would be for fiscal insolvency of the United States, the federal government. And I know that may sound like a crazy thing to say, all right? Because reason. It would tend to sharpen minds because the only way that KS Wild and the various other green organizations are able to do what they do is because there are hot checks being written to pay those kind of organizations and the collaboratives, the stakeholders, you know, as you talked about.
If there
wasn't any money, what would happen then?
Well, let's apply what you just said to things that were in the news as of this morning.
Mm-hmm.
What was the news? Governor Kotek is going to veto line item wise money for actual good improvements for the small cities. But Jeff Golden tried to get $30 million for forest restoration. Okay? He wanted to bring in more burning. He wanted to have forest restoration. Well, we know what forest restoration is. The thing is, you got to burn it.
Okay. The thing is, though, Ed, elections have consequences.
That's what I want to remind people of. And the whole thing comes down to our county's ability to fight these people off. And you've got two groups, one in Josephine, one in Jackson, trying to change our county charter so these people have more power. Well, if you look out there today, it's a beautiful morning, clear skies, everything's beautiful. The reality is you're not going to have that here. You're going to go back to 2018 if you vote this charter amendment through.
Point well taken, and that is that is the takeaway, all right? Got to go here, Ed.
That is the takeaway.
And you have to, and I know that the signs that are out in Jackson County that are saying no, don't even mention the measures until the bottom of the sign. So hopefully that you know what you're saying. It says don't import Portland. It's like, okay, well, importing Portland's not on the ballot, but the measures are. Vote no on all three charter change measures in Jackson County and vote no on the Josephine County 17-116. if you live in Joe County. Okay? Let me grab one more pebble before news time. Hi, who's this? Go ahead.
This is Crazy.
Yeah, Gene, what's up?
Well, I was just calling to say that ever since Adam and Eve, when Eve was over there hobnobbing with the serpent and came back to tell Adam that he needed to talk to that guy, he really had it together.
All right. And
the men and women thing has been going on ever since the beginning of time here.
Okay, well, let's set aside Adam and Eve at the moment, though. Let's talk about the, you know, well, of course, today it's Adam and Steve, I think. But Adam and Eve today, should the mother, that Australian mother, should she have been upbraiding the hero husband, in my view, the way that she did? After he rescued the daughter from the cauldron, the boiling cauldron of water.
That's why I'm single. I could do nothing right.
But you see, that's just it. There are a lot of other young men that kind of feel the same way. Yeah. I'm serious. You know, the family formation has been very low. It's like, you know, heads. You know, we hear all this talk about, you know, white male privilege or male privilege or whatever the case might be. I'm not convinced that it's really that way. It's a very feminized culture right now in which, you know, females are always right, you know, whatever it is. And nobody came back on that, on that story. And it kind of disappointed me. It's like, wait a minute. Okay, dad, yeah, probably should have taken a little more care. But she more or less set him ablaze in front of the public on that rather than, oh, my gosh, he dove in and did the right thing. Could have died himself. But he did the right thing, and everybody's okay. Count your blessings, I guess. Hi, KMED, KCMD. Who's this? Good morning.
Hey, God bless America, everybody. This is Joel reporting from the Iron Gate Canyon.
Go ahead, Joel.
Well, two things. One, what you just talked about, burning the forest down to save the forest is like insanity.
Well, it's kind of like blowing up the dams to save the fish, right?
Mm-hmm. They never went where they thought they did. Yeah, but back to when we went to school, all I know is we in high school started learning the trades so that we'd be ready to get a job right off the bat out of school. And look at my brother's earning $130 an hour working on Porsches and Audis. Mm-hmm. You know, so
I think that a lot of college was done, I think, to sop up excess labor, you know, in some ways to kind of I really do think that some of the unproductive people were sucked up by the college system under the guise of, hey, we're going to help you, you know, be more productive later on. Just my opinion. Appreciate the call there, Joel. It's 7:38. Standing by, we have Josephine County Commissioner Herman Bertschinger. We always talk on Tuesday about things. And is the inflation going to be the big killer in our local budgets? We'll kick it around coming up.
Every second of every day, an older adult in the U.S. suffers a fall. It's one of the most pressing health concerns facing older adults. And it's why at Prestige Senior Living Arbor Place, they're currently offering a free online fall risk assessment. In just 10 minutes, you can learn about your risk factors and ways to stay safe. The free assessment is available at fallriskassessment.com. Again, the fall risk assessment is free. Go to fallriskassessment.com.
Levon here from Orly Stoves and Spas. Are you tired of those huge heating bills? Just to stay warm and comfortable in your own home? Then now is the time for a new wood, gas, or pellet stove from Orly Stoves and Spas. Orly's has Southern Oregon's largest inventory with over 400 stoves in stock now. Never be cold again. And for a limited time, receive a 30% tax credit on qualifying wood or pellet stoves and installation. Are you ready for a relaxing spring and summer enjoying your new pool, swim spa, or hot tub? Then Orly's has everything you need. We are fully stocked on Splash Around above ground pools and accessories. Orly's is Southern Oregon's largest Cal Spa dealer with over 55 spas and swim spas in stock now, as well as the shortest lead time of any dealer in the valley on any special order. Don't forget to ask us about our easy financing. Orly's Stoves and Spas at the corner of Delta Waters and Crater Lake Highway, Medford, 541-779-5340.
Well, you know it's Orly's Stoves and Spas we both recommend.
Now I told you where, let us tell you why, you ought to stop and see our friend. Here at American Rancher Garage, we respect and support those individuals who currently or have previously served this great country and our local communities. As a small token of our respect and appreciation for their service, we extend our Heroes discount to all active or veteran military personnel and to our active or retired first responders. There is no way to completely repay your dedication to the protection of our country and communities, but we will do what we can.
A recent Clouser Drilling customer shares her experience.
This is Susan from Griffin Creek. And listen, if you need a new well, I want you to call Clouser Drilling right away. They were absolutely fantastic. Everything from locating the water to the drilling process itself. Their staff was top-notch, thorough, professional, on time, precise, friendly. Answered all my questions, and believe me, I had a lot of them. You won't regret it. Call Clouser Drilling.
Visit ClouserDrilling.com.
KMED, KCMD News, sponsored by Millett Construction, specializing in foundation repair and replacement. Get on solid ground by visiting MillettConstruction.com.
Good morning, I'm Marcus Veal with your Embassy 5 Morning News Update. All Care Health awarded Community and Shelter Assistance, also known as CASA of Oregon, with $200,000. According to All Care's Senior Housing Director, Julie Akins, the grant funding is going towards the preservation of a 110-space co-op manufactured home park in Grants Pass. Akins learned about the mobile home park through a personal connection and says All Care wanted to help make the mobile home park more self-sustaining in hopes of reducing housing insecurity. The annual Wild and Scenic Film Festival is almost here, and you can still snag a seat. The festival aims to remind us of the value and beauty of nature, as well as bring the community together. Doors open at 5 this Friday at the Ashland Armory and at 4 on Sunday at Grants Pass Performing Arts Center. You can get your tickets now at siskiyoufilmfest.org. The Jackson County Animal Shelter is thanking the community for its assistance in adopting a large number of dogs. Last week, NBC5 News reported the Jackson County Animal Shelter has asked for help with more than 120 dogs, putting the shelter over capacity. According to the Jackson County Health and Services Director, Stacy Brubaker, shelter staffs were able to adopt and transfer out enough dogs that those remaining are at a manageable number. That's a look at your morning headlines. From NBC5 News, I'm Marcus Veal. Happy Tuesday.
This hour of the Bill Meyer Show is proudly sponsored by Phoenix Auto Center Tire Pros on Main Street in Phoenix.
Hi, it's Jason at Phoenix Auto Center Tire Pros. Now through April, purchase one of three styles of General G-Max High or Ultra High performance tires for your modern muscle car, sports car, or sporty coupe or sedan and get a Visa reward card in the mail. Or purchase four Ultimax tires for your passenger car or crossover and get $60 Visa reward card. The Ultimax is an all-season touring tire built for long-lasting, year-round use. Save on general tires for any of your cars you drive at Phoenix Auto Center Tire Pros.
Fraudulent tax returns due identity theft increased by 30% in 2023. If you're in a bind this tax season, LifeLock can help. Their U.S.-based restoration specialists are dedicated to helping solve identity theft issues, and all plans are backed by the Million Dollar Protection Package, which means if you lose money because of identity theft, LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan. Help protect your information with LifeLock. Go to LifeLock.com and save up to 25% your first year with my name, Clay, as your promo code.
Hi, I'm Paul Strandberg with Valley View Nursery, and I'm on 106.7 KMED.
I'll sing for the place that my heart is called home, where the salty Sierra meets the cold mountains.
Sing along, Hermit.
Where I'm free to be healthy and happy and strong and live long in Oregon.
By the way, I think that website, that was an ad for the Obamacare website for the state of Oregon. It never did sign up anybody, did it? Right?
No. It was complete. But what came out of it, though, were these CCOs, you know, like All Care and stuff did come out of it. So they're basically Obamacare.
Okay, yeah. And we're going to be going down a little bit more into that. I wanted to talk with Josephine County Commissioner Herman Barachek. We talk with him every Tuesday. And kick around some various issues of political import. And, of course, being a former state senator, kind of knows how that putrid sausage is being made here. Why don't we talk a little bit first here, Herman, about the... I mean, I look at the governor's office here, having identified a number of projects that they want to cut the funding for, and they want to whack a lot of things. What, City of Butte Falls water, a wastewater plant here, City of Shady Cove, the drinking water system, City of Gold Hill, water distribution main line. And of course, this is after a lot of Republicans ended up selling their souls, right? You know, in order to say, hey, look at this. We reached across the aisle, this, that, the other, right? And how do you see this, really?
It's just as normal business as usual. I do remember when the governor line-ited Sal Esquivel's project in Medford. I mean, so it's just, you know, that's how it plays up there. You know what?
But in all seriousness, though, doesn't this actually add credence to what I was saying here, that if you vote with the Democrats and help them get bad Democrat bills, they're going to turn around and screw you some way anyway. You know, so what's the point? Why would you give them votes on all this?
Well, I've always said you give them some blood, they'll come back for more blood.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I guess what twists my tail is I think these projects, you know, Butte Falls and Shady Cove and Gold Hill, they're all water infrastructure projects, which are really expensive and important to these communities.
Sure, but Governor Kotek said this has nothing to do with building more new housing right now. That's the reason given ostensibly to do this. And frankly, these communities would have to be doing this anyway, Herman. I'm just going to play I'm going to play devil's advocate for the devilish governor. Okay.
Well, yeah, but let me ask you this: how come Pam Marsh's wishes? And Pam is up and coming. You're going to see her. She's probably going to be the next Speaker of the House down the road. So her project with Shakespeare Festival and giving $500,000 to the federal government for the Oregon Caves. Those are more important than water infrastructure projects?
Oh, no, I'm not saying they're more important, but they're more politically important. And the whole thing's a corrupt political process right now. That's all this is because, Pam Marsh, of course, is just backfilling bad Shakespeare Festival plays because they were so woke that nobody wanted to go see them. And so we're going to continue
giving money to the federal government? Mm-hmm. Are you kidding me?
Well, you know, after all, isn't Oregon existing on tons of grant stream funding from the federal government? Maybe they're looking at a little bit of, you know, how the libs always talk about giving back. Maybe that's what this is all about, Herman. I'm half kidding.
And the federal government zaps us 38% on our income tax. So give me a break.
Okay. All right. So now, line item veto. So chances are these are. Could they be then overridden by the state legislature? Is there a mechanism to do that?
Not a chance in hell.
So line item veto means it's just gone if she does this, right?
Yeah, they can, but it's never going to happen. It's such a high lift. It's got to be, I think it's 3/4. I don't know. It's a pretty high lift, though.
Well, perhaps this is just another reason not to give Democrats any votes or any help. What do you think?
You know,
they're making it obvious that it's just a pure partisan budget play. And so it's like, all right, what do you think?
Well, I will tell you, and I think if I could get the former Senate President Peter Courtney on the record, I doubt it, but if I wish I could, but he would agree that collaboration between Democrats and Republicans is over in Oregon. And that probably started back in 2018. So it's just over with. They will come out and say, I had Governor Brown tell me, I no longer need Republicans for anything.
All right. And since the governors say that they don't need Republicans for anything except maybe raising taxes in some cases, what's the point of Republicans giving them their vote anyway? Art Robinson, Dwayne Junker, of course, are receiving a lot of incoming criticism because, well, you're not playing the game here. But wait a minute, they don't need them. So why? Why give them a vote?
I don't know. You're going to have to ask those representatives.
Okay.
I at times think they're drinking too much of their own bathwater, you know?
Okay.
I'm amazed that you think you're actually going to get something in return. They may throw you a few crumbs, but at the end of the day, you're losing. Your district is losing.
So if you're not obstructing and trying to break the Democrat process up there, the Democrat Party process, really not changing anything, are you? It's about the only tool you have right now. Vote helping a Democrat pass their bill is not going to help you much in the long run, will it?
My entire 8 years was trying to stop their radical agenda that was hurting my district. That was my, I had people ask me, well, how many of your bills passed? I said, my job is not to pass bills. My job is to stop bad bills from hurting my district. That was my job, Bill.
Yep, that was your job. And you did it pretty well, you know, back at that time. Of course, you were still able to deny quorum without too much trouble at that point. And then non-thinking voters ended up going to 113 under the guise of, you got to do your job, while the public employee unions reserve the right to strike. Isn't that cool? Isn't that funny?
Notice that part? You know, we also, as a caucus back then, but the dynamics were different. Mm-hmm. There was bipartisan conversations. And even before the denial of quorum, we made a lot of success in making bills less bad and killing bills. We could kill bills without having to deny quorum.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm pretty convinced with the radical makeup of the Democrats in both the Senate and House, I think that would be extremely hard to do now.
Okay. All right. So I'm going to continue to say, don't give them a yes vote. Because they're going to take it away anyway if the governor is displeased with you. Well, they're going to be displeased with you anyway. Right?
Well, make them carry the water.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Don't carry it for them.
Yeah. And okay. So do you think that all this stuff is going to be yanked? Has been talked about?
And then some.
And then some. Oh.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Wanted to ask you. I know that there is, in the city of Grants Pass, they're floating a proposal to tax big box stores. Good plan? Good idea?
Well, listen, it's all a horrible plan because at the end of the day, it's the consumer. The big box store isn't going to get hurt. It's they're just going to raise their prices to compensate for it. And who's going to pay? You and me.
Okay. Well, I mean, the goal is to find some way to backfill public safety.
Well, I know. It's all tough. Municipalities across the country are all in the same boat. This inflation that Biden has created is just killing us.
I was reading this article that you sent me from the Wenatchee World. Inflation has turned Washington State's property tax cap into a county budget killer. Now, they have a property tax cap, just like Oregon has a property tax cap, right? You know, we have...
Exactly.
We have the assessments cannot go up more than 3% a year. 3%. So if inflation is more than 3%.
Two.
Yeah, what?
I think theirs is 2%, but go ahead.
Oh, yeah. But if we're at 3%, real inflation is more than 3%. We know that. Real inflation. I know that the reported inflation is probably, what, 3%, 4%. But it's more than that in the real world. We know that because we shop in the stores. Okay? Right?
The actual inflation rate is somewhere around 14%.
So you think that they're going to go after our property tax cap in the state of Oregon?
Yeah, you can't do that. So here's the problem. Here's the problem. Everybody's out of money. This is what inflation does.
Mm-hmm.
And when this started, you know, I recited Milton Friedman a couple times. Inflation is good for no one. And all you have to do is look to Venezuela, Zimbabwe, Germany. There's all kinds of examples out there.
Yeah, by the way, Zimbabwe now started trading a gold-backed currency yesterday.
Let's see. They say gold-backed currency. Is that gold paint or is it fiscal gold?
I don't know, but it's hey, they're starting to see the light that they can't just can't take care of things by just adding nine zeros to the dollar and have it be okay.
Well, you know, I just got done reading a book here a while back, and I got it in my hands right now. And it's called When Money Destroys Nation, and it's a Zimbabwe story. And with that book, I have an actual note from the Reserve Bank of Zimbabwe, a real one. It's in a little plastic bag. And their inflation was over 620,000%. And this note here is for $100 trillion.
Are you serious?
Yes, I'm serious. I'm going to take a picture and send it to you. I paid $4.95, and that was shipping and handling for it, that note.
Okay. Got to love that.
And it's a fancy-looking little thing. Looks like a Euro, kind of.
Well, then let me ask you this, because here it is. You're going to be getting out of the county commission later this year, all right? End of the year. It's going to be it. And do you think that we're just starting to see the inflationary impact in our local and county governments, Commissioner Bairdschiger? What do you think?
Well, no, we actually seen it a little bit last year, but the reserve funds go away quite quickly. And when they go away, that's when the yelling and screaming and the strife begins. And that's what's going to happen this year. And on top of it, you know, the unions are so strong in this state that all the union negotiations and we deal with about four or five different unions. Everybody got big raises, more vacation packages, more like that. So, you know, I just sit there in the meetings and there's not much I can do as a county commissioner on that.
Yeah,
you just can't. And to be quite frank, I don't begrudge county employees for wanting more money because they're experiencing the 14% inflation just like the rest of them.
Yeah, I get it too. But the one thing I would say, though, I have a feeling there's going to be a real battle between the haves and the have-nots. And the haves have PERS and the have-nots do not. And being told that you're going to have to pay more to take care of PERS people when you didn't get a raise in 2020 or 2021 or 2022, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. Because I think there's been a lot of pay increase on the low end with the minimum wage being boosted up there. But I think that mushy middle hasn't been all that healthy. What do you think?
No, it isn't. And, you know, Bill, I'd like to tell you one thing. Being 8 years on finance and revenue, and you got to remember, when I was on that committee, that's one of the most powerful committees in the Senate. It runs all the time. It never shuts down. And I, you know, Courtney thought I was going to be a long-serving senator, so that the state actually invested a lot of money sending me to schools, sending me to other countries, meeting with different parliaments in Canada and in Italy, and learning different, you know, how do you fund governments. They really spent a lot of money on me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I spent 8 years, and what you do is you're always projecting. You're working with the state economist. You're working with legislative revenue office, legislative fiscal office, and you really learn a lot, and you really look into the future. So I kind of continued that on my own after I got out of the Senate. And I say things, and people look at me, and they just kind of, no, that's not going to happen. That's not going to happen.
Okay, what do you say is going to happen that the conventional wisdom, which isn't all that wise right now, Commissioner Bairdschiger says is going to happen? What do you think is the next?
Next shoe to drop is unemployment rates go up because people can't afford to keep employees.
Really? Kind of a lagging. Well, is that a lagging indicator or leading indicator of the trouble, you think?
Lagging.
Hmm. So they're hanging on to it. They're hanging on to it as long as they can at this point. Hmm?
Right, but that's what's going to happen in Joe Spink. That's going to happen in municipalities when Nancy, that article and everything, if you read, it's happening all across, but also in business. So California went to $20 minimum wage. Look at the unemployment.
They've already started laying off the workers, haven't they?
Right. Mm-hmm. And you're going to see, because like I said, in all these union negotiations, and I was blasted by some of our department heads, but I said, look, we're going to give these raises, but there's only so many dollars in the bucket. When the bucket's empty, we're not going to take away the raises. We're going to have to cut positions.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then you have a problem with burnout then, don't you? Then you have a problem with burnout and overwork, don't you?
Well, and less services. Mm-hmm. You know, the public, they call up and they say, hey, you know, I've been waiting 2 weeks to get my building inspected. Well, we're down to one building inspector. You know, that it's those kind of things that I'm worried about. But they're going to happen. I guarantee, just like 3.5, when I first came into Josephine County, it was in a month. I put on a symposium to all the department heads. And we met in Ann Basker, and I gave a PowerPoint presentation on inflation. And they all looked at me puzzled. Why are you doing this? And I said, well, we were already studying that in the legislature and anticipating it, okay? And so I just went through and I said, this is how it works. And this is how government suffers under inflation and everything. And I think half of them left there just, you know, new commissioner thinks he knows everything about everything.
Right.
You know? And so here we are. And now they're coming to the table. They're going, well, my department can't take that kind of cut. Well, guess what? There ain't the money there. You're going to get that kind of cut.
Yeah. So you're going to have to figure out how to. Well, you know, a lot of private industry has been having to figure out how to do more with less. I guess we're going to be seeing that filtering down into local government in spite of the fact that there's been kind of a, well, presumed thing that, well, you'll just find the money. And we were finding the money for a few years, but it was a fake finding of the money. Through the federal, all the CARES money, or not the CARES money. What is it? Is it the CARES?
$38 trillion that got injected into the county that gave us a false, or injected into the country that gave us a false security.
Yeah, yeah. And now the piper is going to be paid one way or the other. So it'll be interesting times, Herman. Okay? All right?
Oh, I feel sorry for whoever's taking my job in the future. It's not going to be pleasant.
Well, I'll be interviewing some of those people, hopefully, in the next few days, okay? We appreciate that.
Yeah.
Thanks, Herman. Okay.
Hey, you take care.
You too, now. It's a minute after 8. Herman Bertschinger, of course, former state senator.